front of the bulletin, that's the fellow with the one talent. See him there? He's digging a hole in the ground to put the talent in. But as we get, this is Thanksgiving Sunday, and I have a question for you. Have you ever been to an intriguing Thanksgiving? Have you ever celebrated a particular Thanksgiving in your lives that was intriguing? I remember when I was younger, it was meeting the in-laws and having Thanksgiving at the in-laws' house. That was always intriguing, and you're always wondering what traditions they have and trying to follow along to do the right things and not make a faux pas. Familiar things, familiar foods. Maybe you've never had the opportunity to do anything different. One year I celebrated Thanksgiving, the kids and I, with a gal that was a vegetarian. She doesn't eat turkey. So she volunteered to make the turkey. She made a tofu turkey. And we were all willing, and she got to the table, and she's sliced out slices for us all, and we sat down, and we were beginning to munch away at it. And she took one bite, and she said, "This is terrible." And she took it all back off of our plates. And did you know that Chinese food restaurants are open on Thanksgiving? It was memorable. It was memorable. Bittersweet moment for my dad was in the hospital, intensive care, and it was Thanksgiving, and we went down to the cafeteria and had Thanksgiving dinner. Cafeteria hold 200 or 300 people easily. There were four of us. And the staff was wonderful. Routines and traditions. And breaking those routines and trying different things and new things. So I'm going to try and tie that in. Let's see if we can get there. The New Testament parable that Jesus tells, this is an important teaching lesson. And I have, in the years past, pointed out that talents can refer to our gifts and graces. Barbara is talented with her fingers and her toes on the organ. There's a lot of people that play the keyboard, but very few that have talented toes to go with it. And I've known some gifted pianists that have been bucked off of an organ bench. It's hard work. So there's a gift or grace there, if you will. Tom commented to me, he said, "There's 8 gifted people up here for that ensemble." He says, "That's really incredible and that's wonderful." Do you understand and feel those gifts and appreciate the gifts that you've received to be able to do that? So gifts and graces and using them instead of burying them. These are God-given, and I need to reiterate that not everyone has the same gifts and graces. I had a good friend in Johnstown, and she had a business that anyone can sing. And anybody that was interested, she would gather with them and help them and nurture them and teach them, and doesn't make me any better. Nonetheless, that wasn't my gift. That just isn't where that sets. But it's important not to bury those gifts and graces either. We are gifted to do our best with the gifts that God gives us. Amen? If you're good with music, make a joyful noise. If you have a strong back, build, help, repair. If you are good at cooking and you have that gift, feed the lambs. Feed God's children. If you have the gift of understanding that weird language that's around business and banking, help me. Unused gifts atrophy and disappear. And God's gifts need to be exercised, used often. So all of that, and you probably heard me preach on that very topic, that same thing, 3 years ago when we passed through this scripture. But I read a commentary, he says, don't do that. Don't change this parable about the talents to be about gifts and graces. He says, this is about money. Talents are money. A talent was the about what a laborer would earn 15 years worth of labor at a laborer's wages. Now, I did the numbers on that, and I bet they're wrong because I just remembered that it was 15 years' wages as a laborer. Because I think maybe not. If my numbers are right, 15 years' wages as a laborer is $233,000 in today's money. Figuring $14 an hour. That's $250,000, one talent. So 15 talents is $3,495,000. That's a chunk of change. Two talents is $466,000. Half a million bucks. This is a lot of money. Yes? Now, maybe some of you, that's a drop in the bucket. Let's talk after church. So they're not paltry sums, and that one talent, $250,000. Now, it's interesting, just this same week, and this is true, my financial advisor called for, annually we have to do an update on all my finances. And so we had that meeting, and of course the thing that they always ask is, what level of risk do you want us to use with the monies that you've set aside? And that's always kind of an interesting thing, and I'm always pretty much a chicken. But I've set aside a few nickels and dimes for Melissa and I in our retirement, and so I'm probably pretty conservative, but nonetheless, we have to determine how much risk is involved. Do you understand what I'm saying there? But the man who receives the one talent, the first one, gets five talents, and he doubles that. What did I say five talents was worth? $3,496,000. Doubled it. No, I'm sorry. That's 15 talents. That's all the talents that he invested. I can't read my own writing. But doubled the money is amazing. So here's the one who gets one talent. And he says, here's your talent back. He says, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. So he understands the master, and he understands that the master is going to expect something. This is about investing what we've received and taking risk. And even if we just back up and say, well, we've been gifted with our Christian gifts and graces, then what are we supposed to do with them? What is our Christian task? What is it we're supposed to be doing for the Lord? We're supposed to be caring and giving and manifesting our faith, witnessing, even using words if we have to, trusting God, bearing hope to the world that needs it. Those are all the tasks that we're called to, aren't they? And do we have classes in that on caring? Not enough in the church, probably. And to whom should we be giving? You watch the TV and they'll have wonderful commercials telling you where you can give your money. And we know when we discover further that the majority of them take the money that you give them to found their foundations and pay their boards of directors. So we become skeptical and we don't give, and that's a fail. But who teaches us to be bearers of hope? Do we need hope in the world? Do you meet people that are without hope, and how do we respond to them? John Wesley said, when you don't have faith, preach faith till you have faith, and then you can preach faith. Yeah, John Wesley, he was a rascal, wasn't he? So here we have this parable about our growing connectedness with Jesus. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about our relationship there. And we need to listen to it carefully about the talents. And what do you think that this parable is teaching us? Is it teaching us to be timid? That doesn't quite seem right to me. Jesus is teaching risk. 5 talents, given him 5 talents. That's $1,165,000. Risk. Go out and risk. That's not saying that a lot of people in society are comfortable doing. But then neither is loving the unlovable ones. Neither is offering hope in hopeless situations. Neither is having faith when it doesn't seem like there's anything to have faith in. We're called to do those. We're called to risk. Have you thought about that? And I've wondered, the man who was given the 1 talent, you remember the one with 5? He goes out and makes another 5, gives back the master 10 talents. The one with 10, what does he do? Makes 2 more, gives it back to the master. The man with the 1 talent that buried it, what if he had invested it, worked with it, and then lost it all? We don't have the answer to that, but I bet I can guess. I bet the master would say, you risked and trusted. It wasn't to be, but you tried. Instead, what does he do? He buries it. He does nothing with it. He calls him a wicked and casts him in the outer darkness where there's gnashing, weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, he was motivated by fear and not by faith. And the bottom line, that's where that comes in. We have to take what the Lord gives us and have faith that this is not just us on our own, but God is with us. That ought to get an amen. So this man didn't try. He didn't risk. He succumbed to fear. We're in a weird world that is full of fear, and out of that fear is coming anger and blame and vitriol, and it's an ugly routine that's occurring. And it's easier to be skeptical than it is to have faith. Think about that. Think about some of the people you know, and you ask some, it's really easy to say, that'll never work, that'll never happen. That's foolishness, and that's a waste of time, that's a waste of energy. It's easy to do that because there's no risk. Risk means risking being rejected. Risk means risking being deceived. I was in a pastor's association in Fort Morgan, Colorado. And the guy down the street from me was another denomination, but not very many people came to the Methodist church asking for assistance. And he says, they all come down to my place. He says, I always give them whatever they ask for. He says, I'm sure that I've been taken more times than I can count, but I'd rather be taken than fail to assist somebody who needed it. There's a balance there called enabling. And apparently we were not enablers at the United Methodist Church, and the word spread, hey, go down to this fellow's church. He's an easy mark. But he risked. And maybe that was something we didn't do enough of. Risk loving unconditionally and being hurt, but still to risk. Hope. And risk having God say no when we pray for something. Hope and pray for this and that. Pray for these things that go there. And sometimes God does say no. And it's painful. But that risk has to be there. Risk in the name of God. It's Thanksgiving this week. I hope you don't have one of those unusual tofu turkeys. And yet I also hope that you find opportunities to use your gifts and graces. And more than that, I hope that you pause and really give thanks for all that we've been given and the ability to give back. Amen? Amen.